Hey everybody, before we get into today's episode, I want to take a minute to introduce our latest service called Crowd Insight by Gadgetflow. It's an awesome tool we made to help you get honest feedback for your upcoming crowdfunding project. Some of the big results we've seen include increased conversion rate, finding out why your project isn't performing well, and getting feedback you need from potential backers. So please head over to gadgetflow.com/crowdinsight to check it out today. You can also find a link in this week's show notes. Now, let's get into the episode. Hello, world. This is the Gadget Flow Podcast, the show about everything related to products, entrepreneurship, marketing, and crowdfunding. This week, I got to chat with Salvador Brigman from CrowdCrux. And Salvador is an expert, author, and teacher on crowdfunding and has helped countless people create successful campaigns. This is one of the most practical and actionable interviews we have ever done, so I am not going to waste any more time. Here is our interview with Salvador Brigman. All right, I am here with Salvador Brigman. Salvador, how are you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Looking forward to talking about crowdfunding. We're in Brooklyn, New York here. So Kickstarter, actually, I know that about 2, maybe 3 years ago, I went to one of their block parties. So they're also in Greenpoint. Did you know that?
Yeah, my building is connected to theirs. So
nice. Small world.
Yeah. It really is, man. Yeah, like our my office window actually overlooks their like terrace space for their office. So it's
can spy on them.
Cool. Yeah, their inner workings. But yeah. No, man, it's cool. So we're Brooklynites together, which is awesome.
Yes, yes.
So for people who may not know who you are, your background, just give us a snapshot into who you are and what exactly you do.
Yeah, so my name is Sal or Salvador. I've been in the industry, the crowdfunding industry, since 2012. I got started with blogging, and basically I was doing this mini econ thesis comparing different categories on Kickstarter and trying to like get to the crux of why is it that these campaigns were getting wildly funded. You know, you're seeing some projects getting 6 figures, 7 figures. Like it seemed just insane that that amount of money can be raised for a project and the product isn't even created yet. It's just to go out there and fund it. So I was basically blogging on this topic. My blog started to become more popular. I then started to branch out into other stuff like my podcast, Crowdfunding Demystified. On that show, I interview entrepreneurs. We get into what's working for them on Kickstarter. I also now have a YouTube channel. I've written 6 books, which are available on Amazon and various like subtopics within crowdfunding. So it's just been a labor of love for me. Like I love educating. I love also talking with entrepreneurs and coaching people. So it's been something that's been a passion for me, but I also I've learned so much when it comes to marketing and online sales that it's wild. I'm learning literally something like every single week, learning something new.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you're busy. You have a lot going on, but it's a lot of very, very useful and awesome information that you're helping people with. So I want to get into the nitty-gritty because you are definitely an expert when it comes to crowdfunding and marketing. But before we go there, I am curious about your career before getting into all this and how you kind of stumbled upon it and what you did before leading up to it. Like, what's your story getting into crowdfunding?
So my career was eating pizza as a college student. So okay. My website, yeah, crowdcrux.com, that's the blog that sort of started it all. And I literally launched this my junior year of college. It was just honestly doing it for fun. Like I was doing this mini econ thesis, like I was saying. I was studying the different categories on Kickstarter. So there's like film, there's dance, there's theater, there's design products, there's technology products. And my sort of thesis behind that was that I think that the variables that affect success are going to be different in the film category versus if you have a more of an entrepreneurial technology gadget or a gizmo. So I sort of went into this trying to study that. And I had this idea that if you're in the technology category, maybe you can get strangers to actually back you on Kickstarter versus if you're doing something like a theater project or a film project, it's probably going to come more from your social network. So basically, before I launched the blog, I was studying that. I was also, you know, learning about economics I was really trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life and what I was passionate about, because obviously I could have gone into like a traditional kind of job. I could have gone to grad school or something like that, but just it didn't feel right to me because I was learning about all these new business concepts. You know, I was seeing people blow up on YouTube and people starting podcasts and blogs. And I'm like, wow, that sounds so cool. That sounds really interesting to me. So I was just pretty much in the discovery phase. But, you know, before that, I had done other stuff. Like we built websites and apps for clients when I was in college. So I did that on the tech side, also working on the sales side. I've done a ton of writing in my life, like whether it's like my high school emo blog or just writing for, you know, the blog that I started and other ones, you know, since then. So it was a lot of discovery, a lot of writing, and also just soul searching of what it is that I was passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm curious, do you have any like entrepreneurs or people who you have followed who kind of inspired you through that season or currently inspire you? Like, who are some people who you follow and admire?
Right now, I definitely have some. So Grant Cardone, I love that guy. He's a YouTuber. He also does like sales training. I love Russell Brunson. He's a great info marketer. You know, it's really difficult, I think, to if you look back in your life, you look at these different people that you've been following. I even have people who say that they follow me and look up to some of the stuff that I'm teaching with the podcast or on CrowdCrux. And they sort of change over time. So the people that I was interested in at that time, I was more interested in people doing like technology startups. So things like Peter Thiel or Paul Graham, these people basically building software, because I thought that might be what I'd be interested in. But then I sort of discovered this whole other vein where people actually creating physical products online and using crowdfunding to get the word out there. And then I started to get really interested in that. And what I realized was there's actually no one out there sharing education on this. So I was looking at some of these other experts in different industries, you know, people like Grant Cardone or people like, you know, Russell Brunson or other experts, Tim Ferriss, et cetera. I'm like, wow, what if I actually started to get the best practices and sort of discover those for this industry? And I started to share that, and what kind of impact could that have on people? So that was sort of the germ, I guess, of the idea for what I do now. But definitely, you know, I looked up to lots of people along the way. Even honestly, some of my students now, I look up to them because they're doing amazing stuff. Like I had a student raise over $300,000 on Kickstarter. I'm like, man, that is epic. And I saw it go from the beginning of having this prototype to raising money. So it's just profound to me. I think you can get inspiration from a lot of sources. It doesn't necessarily have to be like some expert in the industry.
Absolutely, man. And it's cool that it's kind of still the Wild West, you know. I think there are best practices, but you also, you know, being a leader in the space, you get to kind of lead the way in a lot of ways of what it looks like, which is very cool. So I want to get into some nitty-gritty crowdfunding stuff. So I kind of like this question to start out. What is the worst piece of advice you hear about crowdfunding and that it's something you would like to debunk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. I do also think that while it is still the Wild West, we're definitely getting into a lot more of these proven practices. Like one of the things I love to do on the podcast, the reason why I have people on the Crowdfunding Demystified show like continually every single week, is we have to always get what's working right now on Kickstarter. And I think there's a lot of good advice out there, and there's also a lot of not so great advice out there, you know? So I guess one of the things, the question being, what is a major thing, a major mistake, or can you restate that again?
Yeah, just maybe like common advice that you hear thrown around that's just not helpful or not going to help you get your campaign off the ground. Like just something that is thrown around a lot that you've seen that just doesn't work.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. So one of the misconceptions that I had going into the industry was that you basically just need a big social media following in order to get funded on Kickstarter or Indiegogo or with another crowdfunding website. You know, you see these people that have massive Instagram followings or massive Twitter followings or on Facebook or wherever, and you think, wow, that's all I need to have this crowd and in order to get funded. But the thing is, there's actually this disconnect, because people who do have a lot of social media followers, a lot of Facebook fan page likes, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to convert into funding for their campaign. So a lot of the times when we're getting started, we think like, oh, I have to build up my social media following. But that's actually not true. You actually have to understand what sources drive pledges to Kickstarter campaigns and also why it is that people back these. And there's actually a hidden step that you have to do in the meantime if you do have a social media following already that you can use to get people to actually back your project. So I'd say that's a really big misnomer out there when it comes to these campaigns.
Yeah. What are some, to bounce back off of that, what are some things that maybe to fight if you don't have a big social campaign? Like, what are some steps that you should take?
Mm-hmm. So I talk about this a lot in the Kickstarter launch formula. So this is a book that I wrote, I think, about a year and a half ago. I continually update it. In the Kickstarter launch formula, we get into the practices that actually get people to take action, even if you have a small crowd, quote unquote, you know, or a small social media following. So what I see the mistake being is that people are always thinking like, oh, I don't have an access to enough people, or oh, I need to build up this social meeting or this crowd of people. Instead, what you want to be doing is you want to focus 100% on building an email list prior to your launch. And if you already have a social media following, you're trying to get basically your followers onto that pre-launch email list. And here's why. It's because email has a much higher conversion rate than any other channel out there. So if you have 1,000 people on an email list, more of those people are going to become buyers or backers of your campaign than if you had 1,000 followers on Twitter or 1,000 Instagram followers or, you know, likes on your Facebook page. So the secret here is you basically, if you have a small crowd, first of all, you want to get as many of those people onto a pre-launch email list as possible. And then we can get into, you know, maybe scheduling emails leading up to that launch later. But that's the number one. The number two is you want to be using things like Facebook ads or using other techniques to get people on and to build that email list prior to your launch. And that's really going to be the best bang for your buck, if you will. That's going to be the most effective way to get funding if you have a small crowd.
Got it. So I'm thinking of, you know, a 18-year-old product builder out there who's wanting to launch a campaign. What would you say are like the top one or two things to focus on in your pre-launch campaign? Like when you're building out your crowdfunding campaign and the whole concept, what are like the top one or two things you need to be thinking about with your product? Maybe save the example, you need a really good product. That's obvious. What are some practical things, though, that you need to be thinking about in order to have a successful campaign?
Well, I think there are definitely the obvious ones. You know, you obviously need a good pitch video. You need compelling reward tiers. You need to have good copywriting. Like, I think those are more of the obvious ones. The not so obvious ones are there's a funding trajectory. And this sort of goes back to, you know, some of the stuff that I've uncovered. There's a funding trajectory for every single campaign. And, you know, obviously not every campaign is the same, but a lot of them follow this one trajectory where most of the pledges come within the first 3 to 4 days of your campaign, and then it sort of peters off. And we see this happens a lot. People will basically be like, oh man, like I feel like my campaign is stalling. I feel like I don't know what to do. I don't know how to maintain momentum. And they see this lull in pledges in the middle of their project. And it can be really fear inducing because it's like, what do I do now? So a traditional trajectory looks like in the first 3 to 4 to 5 days of the project, you're seeing a big influx in pledges. In the middle, there's what we call the Kickstarter slump of death, or at least that's what I call it. And then at the end, you also see a big uptick in pledges because of the urgency, the fact that a campaign is only going to be live for a certain amount of time. And after this point, people are not going to be able to pledge to it. So you see an uptick in the beginning and an uptick at the end. So what I really recommend, number one, is that you plan for that middle period. What are you going to do to maintain momentum and to maintain interest? And we can get into that if you want different strategies, whether that's PR or influencers or Facebook ads or et cetera, you know, stretch goals, add-ons. There are a lot of ways that you can maintain this interest, but I would say that that's a really big thing to focus on before you go live. The second is when it actually comes to telling that story. So I think a lot of people that aren't familiar with crowdfunding, they think of it as trying to sell something online. And while it's true, there is the sales component, a lot of it also has to do with you and your story, because people connect with other human beings. People are not just going to buy a random product if they've never heard of it before. You really need to think about the story that goes behind that product, who it's right for, and also how they can identify with some of the use cases there. So maybe even, you know, sometimes the founder is the best customer, not always, but you're sharing a bit of that founder story. Why is it they wrestled with this problem for maybe years on end or months on end before they came up with a solution? How many iterations did they go through? What are all of the things that they had to go through in order to bring this now to you? So those are two, I think, really big things that just aren't covered very much. Of course, they're, you know, like I said, the basic stuff like video, etc. But those are definitely two major ones.
Yeah. My next question was going to be, how do you fight that, the middle part of your campaign? Because we've noticed that, and I think that's just part of the game of crowdfunding, you're going to see a huge surge in the beginning and a little bump at the end, but throughout the middle, that's kind of where campaigns are, you know, they can be make or break moments. So I would like to dig into that a little bit more, just practically. What are some things you can do to make sure your campaign doesn't fizzle out after the first, you know, 72 hours of it being live? What are some things to really push throughout the whole campaign?
Yeah. Well, I would definitely say the first one is becoming educated. So anyone listening to the show right now, you are literally in the right place. this is exactly what you should be doing leading up to your project. And so many people do not do this. They fail to prepare, that this sort of catches them off guard. So I would say one of the easiest things that you can do is to bake in events. So events could be things like maybe doing media stories, you know, having media outreach beforehand and having a story go live. So PR, that's one component of it. Another is doing things like Facebook ads. There are different companies, Facebook ad companies. You can also buy services. You can use things like the Gadget Flow, other ways to tap into audiences. You can network with influencers. You can throw parties. There are a lot of different ways to do it. I think from a functional standpoint, you could also do things like stretch goals. So having a stretch goal where if you reach a certain funding amount, then this goal is unlocked and maybe a new color or a new version or new type and alteration of the product that you're offering now is available to all of the backers. Other stuff you can do, you can launch a new reward tier, you can have add-ons, different ways to increase that funding amount. I like to think of it also as finding excuses to talk about your project. So you can do things like live streams, Q&A. You can do things like, we're celebrating this milestone. We've already gotten to $25,000 now. Like, we're now shooting for $50,000. And you can sort of celebrate these different milestones that you're going through. And in that way, you have an excuse to talk about your project even more. Of course, other stuff, you know, doing media mentions, like going on podcasts just like this. I have many guests that come on my show, Crowdfunding Demystified, that are in the middle of their project. And the reason is to get the word out. They've already successfully hit their goal, but they're looking to maintain that momentum. So it's really just thinking about, how can I get more attention to this? And also, what are some of the ways that I can also, with some skin in the game, you know, spending money with my advertising budget, get more eyeballs on the project?
Absolutely, man. I think that is very smart. Moving into the future, like, where do you see crowdfunding, you know, 5 years from now? Do you still see it as a growing way of getting products into the world? Where do you see crowdfunding headed into the future?
That's a really good question. So I think there are different types of crowdfunding. So like what we're talking about right now, there is Kickstarter and Indiegogo launching projects into the world and raising money that way. I think that's something that's very different than raising money for the arts or raising money for, if you're producing a podcast using something like Kickstarter's Drip or Patreon. There's other types of crowdfunding out there also, like GoFundMe. So there are many different forms of crowdfunding. That's just scraping the surface. So I would say that when it comes to entrepreneurs raising money for a product that they're going to create, sort of doing a pre-launch for it in that way, I think we're going to continue to see a lot of innovation coming from these different platforms like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, because just recently, like looking back the last 2 years, so many of the innovations that came into the world came from crowdfunding. Things like the Oculus Rift. And that's mainstream now. VR, Facebook bought them for like $2 billion and they started on Kickstarter. Cards Against Humanity, something that you and I, you know, our age demo loves to play sometimes if you're having a social gathering, that came from Kickstarter. Other stuff like the Pebble Watch that influenced now people creating Apple Watches and other technology that's now more sophisticated. So I think that this is really just the beginning of crowdfunding, and we're going to see more and more projects coming to light. I've had some of my students more recently that are working on different exercise equipment, things that they're creating to make use of maybe some exercises that aren't as mainstream, like using a ballet bar, an at-home ballet bar. Like, that's not something that you would normally think of when you go to the gym, but there's this whole cohort of people out there that are fascinated with this type of working out. So I think what crowdfunding does is sort of democratizes that, and it allows people to find their crowd also online, people that care about supporting this type of project and care about seeing this exist in the world. So I honestly believe that it's going to continue to grow a lot in the future. And it's becoming so much more sophisticated nowadays. The actual practices, the proven techniques that go into funding these different projects. So yeah, that's my view on it.
Yeah, man, I think you're spot on with all that. So in closing, is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with? Like, what is there anything that just stands out to you as being especially important in making your next crowdfunding campaign a success?
100%. I'll share one thing, but before I do, so for those of you who are interested in getting more information, like you understand the value of preparation and education, I put together a link for you guys today if you want to join this free course, which goes through a lot of these different things like social media, like how do you actually build your email list, how do you get PR, all of that kind of stuff. So I set this up for you guys on my website at crowdcrux.com/crowdfunding. So that's crowdcrux.com/crowdfunding. You just enter your email there and you'll join my free course. I'll start sending you emails. You can also reply to those. I'm a real person. Happy to answer you there. So a lot of the stuff we're talking about, I expand on that in that course. But in addition to that, I think that you really have to examine yourself and the resources that you have available, because we all know that, you know, I'm good at some stuff, but I'm not good at everything. And some entrepreneurs are really great maybe on the marketing side or really great on the invention side, but they're not so good as, you know, doing other stuff, like understanding how crowdfunding works or understanding how to put together an effective video. So the first thing I would do is I would really assess where you stand. What resources do you have access to? Who can help you with this project? Can you bring on team members? And really, what are your strengths? And then thinking a little bit about those weaknesses and how am I going to basically compensate for those? So I think that a lot of the students that I have, they'll set aside a launch budget. And this is kind of different. It's very kind of awkward feeling, I think, because when you're thinking of crowdfunding, you're like, okay, I need to get funding. You know, I need to get funding for this new dream or this project. But what it's turned into is that so many of the successful campaigns out there, they're very professionally done. They have a launch budget, which they use to do things like buy ads, which they use to hire a video studio, which they use to hire consultants and people to help them out. So in order to compete nowadays, you actually need to create a launch budget. And you need to almost approach this as an event that's happening. Like, while yes, you're looking to get funding, this is about a lot more than funding. It's about getting the word out there about you. It's about getting the word out there about your brand, about your company, about, you know, having your initial group of customers who you can sell products to later. You can also get feedback on the prototype. You can discover retailers and people who can partner with you in the future. So it's about a lot more than funding. So the number one thing I would say is to have that long-term vision. And in order to make that happen, you have to do things like being willing to assemble a team, being willing to create that budget, being willing to seek out mentors and people who can help you along the way. That's the biggest way that I think you can improve your success rates beyond doing things like validating your product or making sure that this is something that people want.
Absolutely, man. Cool. Well, I will include the link to that course in the show notes. I think everyone listening should, I mean, there's no reason not to just go take that. I think it's will be immensely helpful for anyone. Where can people stay up to date with you and connect with you online, man?
Good question. So if you like to listen to podcasts, I would go and check out mine, Crowdfunding Demystified. I also have the Audible version of the Kickstarter launch formula if you like listening in the car or on the way to work. If you're more of a like to watch people, you know, like to do YouTube, I have a channel out there. You can just look up my name, Salvador Brigman, and my blog is CrowdCrux. But I would say the number one thing is I find that it's very overwhelming. You know, going into one of these launches, it's extremely overwhelming, and there's so many different information sources. So the reason why I wanted to put together that link for you guys is because it goes really step by step through this process and in a much more bite-sized way. And you can also, you know, respond to my emails or leave a comment on the video that I share with you. So that link, crowdcrux.com/crowdfunding, I really designed that to make this more digestible in a much more easy way. So you don't feel like you're overwhelmed or like, man, I don't really know what to do. Or this one guy is saying email list. The other guy is saying to build up your social following. Like, which should I follow? It can get really confusing, I think. So yeah, that'd be my recommendation there.
Absolutely, man. Everyone, go sign up for this course. It's going to help you a lot. So, Salvador, thank you so much for being on the show, man. You are an expert at this stuff, and it's very, very helpful to hear what you have to say on it, man. So we appreciate you being on, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
That was my interview with Salvador Brigman. Please make sure to go check out crowdcrux.com/crowdfunding to sign up for that course. It is 100% free, and you would be crazy not to take it if you have any interest in having a successful crowdfunding campaign in the future. Thanks for being on, Salvador. This podcast is made by Gadgetflow, and we're proud to be the number one platform to find new and awesome gadgets. So please make sure to check out the site for all the new products we're curating every single day. We'll be back next week with another new episode, so in the meantime, please go rate and review our show on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening to the Gadgetflow podcast.